Shalom to all. Today's office on Hedjunav Chavchas. We are starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Mars, Mirim, Sar, Bas, Yaakov, Maisha. Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Mishnah mentioned all the relatives are apostles to give edus for each other. And the Gemara proved this with the Drasha. The Pasuk says, Loyim su avis al banim, ubanim loyim su al avis, ish becheta yumasu. And the end of the Pasuk of ish becheta yumasu teaches that each man gets punished for his own sins. So it must be the beginning of the Pasuk is talking about edus, namely the fathers and sons can't testify about each other. So we continue with this. Ashkhan avis al banim, ubanim al avis. We see within this Pasuk, the fathers and sons can't testify about each other. For sure, fathers can't testify about each other. Now the question is, what about sons to sons? Meaning, what about the sons of these fathers that we're discussing? In other words, first cousins. How do we know that they're not allowed to give edus about each other? And the answer is, if that were so, they would be okay. All the pasuk should say is that fathers shouldn't die because of a son. My banim. Why this lashon of banim, plural? That teaches us that even sons, meaning first cousins, are not allowed to give edus about each other. Continuing to ask, we find that cousins aren't allowed to give edus about each other, but banim la'alma minalan, how do we know that cousins are not allowed to team up as a pair of edim to give edus about somebody random? And the answer to this is Amar Rav Chami explains, Svaru is a Svaru. Ketanya Rasa tells us, Eina edim nasim zayimin ad sheyuzmu shneihem, that edim can't become edim zayimin until both of them become zayimin. We can't just make one ed and ed zayimin. It has to be that these two edim that came together, Reuven and Shimon, are made zayimin together. Now, if you want to say that first cousins are allowed to team up together as a pair of edim to give edos, it turns out that an eid zayim is going to be killed because the edos of his brother. Because we just said that in order to be able to make somebody an eid zayim, we have to be mazim both of the edim. And let's say this is Din Fasha's case, so these edim zayimim are going to be killed. And this means that at the end of the day, one eid zayim is going to be killed because the edos of the other eid zayim, again, due to the fact that they gave edos together and we're being mazim them together. And so that basically means that one cousin is giving edos about the other one. However, Amar Li Rava, Rava told him, according to your logic, what about the following Mishnah? We have three brothers and one along with them. That's considered like three separate edus. And it's one edus for azama. It's referring to where there's a person, let's just call him Beryl, who was in a field for 3 years, and he has edim proving that he has this chazaka. And these edim are actually three brothers and another random aid, who we're going to call Shmeril. So Reuven's teaming up with Shmeril, giving edus about year one. Shimon's teaming up with Shmeril, giving edus about year two. And Levi's teaming up with Shmeril, giving edus about year three. So that's a valid edus. It's not considered like we have brothers giving edus because we're all testifying about a different year, but it's one edus for hazama, which means we'd have to be mazim all four edim. And Rav continues, Nimsa turns out that eid zayim mishalem mamon beedus achiv, that eid zayim is going to end up paying money based off of the edus of his brother, and that should be a problem. But we don't say it's a problem. El rather must be hazama al makasi, that this hazama is coming from outside, meaning the concept of hazama has nothing to do with one aid giving edus about the other one. In regards to our Mishnah, hazama al makasi. And so Rav was matcha Rav Rachama's proof. El rather, what's our source that cousins are not allowed to team up to give edus about somebody else? That's because im kanev is really so, lichtav kra uben al avais. The pasuk should just say uben al avais. Inami, or should say heim al avais. My ubanim, meaning why does it say ubanim lo yumsu al avais? It should just say uben or heim. That teaches us that afilu banim la alma, that even if we have two banim, two cousins teaming up, giving edus about somebody else, that's aser. The Gemara continues, ashkan kreve ha'av. We find from this pasuk that relatives from a father's side are not allowed to give edus because again, the pasuk used lashon of avais. But what about relatives from a mother's side? How do we know that they're not allowed to give edos? That's because Amar Kar, the pasuk says, avos avos trei zimni. It uses the word twice. Banim lo yumsu avos, avos lo yumsu al banim. So we have the word avos twice, and if the second time is not necessarily mentioned the word av to teach us anything about the relatives of a father, let's use that word and apply it to relatives through a mother, and that means that even those relatives are possible edos for each other. The Gemara continues, ashkan l'chayva. We find the relatives aren't allowed to testify about each other when it comes to making them guilty, because the pasuk tells us avais lo yumsu al banim and banim lo yumsu al avais. So that's l'chayva, being guilty. But l'schus minalan, what about in order to acquit them, in order to testify for their good? How do we know they can't testify for each other? So that's because the pasuk says yumsu trei zimni. It uses the lashon of yumsu twice. Im ein in l'chayva, if the second time around there's no reason to mention it for chayv because it already mentions it the first time, tenei in l'schus, apply that word to schus to teach us that even when they're trying to testify on each other's behalf for the good, they can't do so. One last clarification, ashkam din nefashos, we find that the relatives aren't allowed to testify for or against each other by dini nefashos, because it says yumsu in the pasuk, but with dini mamonis manolon. How do we know that when it comes to dini mamonis, monetary matters, that they're not allowed to testify for each other? That's because Amar Kar, the pasuk says mishpat echad yelachem, there should be one mishpat for you, and we learn from here mishpat hashava lachem, it's an equal mishpat all across the board. So if relatives aren't allowed to testify about each other, that's not only dini nefashos, but it's also dini mamonis. And on to another memra, continuing to discuss relatives testifying about each other. Amar Rav, Rav says as follows: Achi Abba, the brother of my father, meaning my uncle, lo yoyli, he's not to give edus about me, hu ubinoy v'chasonoy, him, his son and son-in-law, and afani loy eloy, I'm also not to give edus about him, about my uncle, ani ubinoy v'chasonoy, neither me, nor my son, nor my son-in-law. I think we're asked, why would that be? Havali shlishi barishon, that's third level to first level, and that shouldn't be a problem. Let's just pause over here for a second to explain what this means, levels. So fathers are level one, their sons, meaning first cousins, are level two, and their sons, second cousins, are level three. And by Rav saying that his son is not to give eidos about his uncle, that's a level three, which is his son, giving eidos about a level one, his uncle. And that shouldn't be a problem. Why not? Because vanan, sheni b'sheni tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, sheni b'sheni, that cousins aren't allowed to give eidos about each other, and sheni b'rishon tanan, we learned that a sheni can't give eidos about a rishon, namely, one can't give eidos about his uncle, because he's the sheni and he's giving eidos about his uncle, the rishon, but shlishi b'rishon loy tanan. Our Mishnah doesn't say anything regarding a shlishi giving eidos about a rishon, so why would Rav say this is usur? The answer is no. What does our Mishnah mean when it says chasan, then his son-in-law can't give eidos either? Chasan binoi, it means the son-in-law of his son, and that's exactly what Rav is saying. Ask Gemara if that's really so. V'lisni ben binoi. Then why does the Mishnah just say explicitly the son of his son and his son-in-law? Why not say that? And the answer to that is because Mishnah is telling us a side point, the baal ke'ishtoi, that a husband is like his wife. Gemara says we still have a problem. El hadi tani Rav Chiya, that which Rav Chiya said, Shmain avos, there's eight main categories in our Mishnah. Shehein esim v'arba, that turns into 24, because the Mishnah said their son and their sons-in-law are included. So if we have our eight main people and then adding on their sons and their sons-in-law, says 8 times 3, which is a total of 24. Well, if what Rav said is true, then when the Mishnah says son-in-law, it's really referring to his son's son-in-law. So nahani tlasin v'tartin havi, it should really be 32, because really 8 times 4, not 8 times 3. The Gemara says, you're right. El olam chasani mamish. Really, when a Mishnah says chasan, it means a son-in-law and not the son-in-law of the son. Well, if that's so, v'amai karle chasan benai, why did Rav call this guy the son-in-law of the son? The answer is, kim mi alma ka'asi, since he comes from my alma, he comes from outside, he's a random guy that married into the family, kedar achar dami, he's treated like he's a different generation. In other words, making a retraction right now of original understanding. And really, the Mishnah itself is not talking about a level three, it's just talking about the son-in-law, not the son of the son-in-law. It's just that Rav is understanding that it says if the Mishnah said this, and he deduces from there that even a level three is possible. As the Gemara Yochav, that's really so. Havali shlishi b'sheni, that means the Mishnah asks a shlishi b'sheni, whereas Rav, achshar shlishi b'sheni, Rav allows a shlishi to give eidos about a sheni. In other words, the Mishnah said that a cousin-in-law is possible, which is basically a level two giving eidos about a level three. And how is this a level three? Because remember, as we just said, according to our current understanding, an in-law is always removed another level. So a cousin-in-law is considered a level three. The problem is that Rav himself only said that his son can't give eidos about his uncle. Mashma, that he could give eidos about his uncle's son, even though that's a level three to level two. So Gemara says, you're right. Rav Damar Krib Lazar, Rav holds a Krib Lazar, the time you have a Brezer Blazar, Omer, he says, Kishem Sha'achi Abba Lo Yoy Li, just like the brother of my father, meaning my uncle, is not allowed to give eidos about me, who benoim chasanoi, and that applies to not only him, but his son and his son in law, Kach Ben Achi Abba, so too the son of the brother of my father, Lo Yoy Li, he can't give eidos about me, who benoim chasanoi, him, his son and son in law. As we see from Krib Lazar, that a relative removed three times, or a level three as we're calling it, is not allowed to give eidos. As a more of a Kate Havale Shlishi Besheni, that's still considered a shlishi giving eidos about a sheni, v'rav achshar shlishi b'sheni, and Rav allows a shlishi to give eidos about a sheni. Rav only said that his son can't give eidos about his uncle. Mashma that he could give eidos about his uncle's son, even though it's a level 3 to a level 2. So Gemara answers, you're right, Rav sarva lo kavasi b'chada, upalagali b'chada. Rav agrees with the Rebbe Lazar in one aspect, but he argues with him in the other aspect. Now Gemara says, my time with Rav, what's Rav's reasoning, where does he get this from? And the answer is, Damakro, because the pasuk says, loyim su avis albanim ubanim. He's putting the comma after the second word ubanim. As we already know, the pasuk says, loyim su avis albanim, comma, ubanim loyim su al avais. But Rav moves the comma over, reading it as loyim su avis al banim ubanim. The rabbi is dar acher. This is including even another generation, meaning third level. That's what this extra word banim is telling us. So we see the level three can't give eidos. Now, Blazer, what about him? Al banim amrachmana. The pasuk also says al banim. What does he do with this? Psule da avais shadi abanim. We take the psul of the father and throw it on the child. In other words, Blazer agrees to Rav's drasha. He just adds on that the word al over here tells us that the psul of giving eidos about a father should be thrown on the son as well. In our example that we've been using, one is not allowed to give eidos about their great uncle. That's a psul of avos. And according to Blazer, that's extended to banim, namely that he can't give eidos about his great uncle's son either. And continuing with more cases, Aron Nachman, Nachman says, Achich Hamaisi lo yoyedli, the brother of my mother-in-law is not allowed to give eidos about me. Ben Achich Hamaisi lo yoyedli, the son of the brother of my mother-in-law is not allowed to give eidos about me. And Ben Achois Hamaisi lo yoyedli, the son of the sister of my mother-in-law is not allowed to give eidos about me. And with Tana Tuna, we learned this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches the exact case of Nachman just did? Just the inverse, the opposite way around. What does Mishnah say? Baal Chaysoi, the husband of his sister, Ubaal Chais Aviv, the husband of the sister of his father, Ubaal Chais Imai, the husband of the sister of his mother, Heinu Bneinu V'chasanein, them their sons and their sons-in-law. So again, these three cases we just mentioned from the Mishnah are the exact opposite, or inverse, if you will, of the case of Nachman mentioned, so that's his source. And something similar, Amar Vashi Rashi says, Kivinu Be'ula, when we were by Ula, Yibayulon, we asked the following question, Achi Chamiv, the brother of my father-in-law, Mahu, what's the din? Could he give Eidos? Ben Achi Chamiv, the son of the brother of my father-in-law, Mahu, what about him? And Ben Achais Chamiv, Mahu, what about the son of the sister of my father-in-law? So Amar Lani told us, Tanisua, the Mishnah says it. And over here as well, the Mishnah teaches us the inverse cases, the exact opposite way around, but it's the same thing. The Mishnah tells us, Achiv, Va'achi Aviv, Va'achi Imai, Heinu Bnein V'chasonein. And so that's the source that none of these people are allowed to give Eidos. And we do more discussions. Rav Ikal Mizman Gvili, Rav visited a place in order by Gvili, which is parchments. Chachasom Bez on top, Bominei, that's the following question. Mausheid Adam Be'eshes Chargoi, is a person allowed to give Eidos about the wife of his stepson? Is that considered like his stepson and then he would not be allowed to give Eidos? Or since she's his wife, maybe that's considered like a totally different person and he would be allowed to give Eidos? And his answer was, Abasura Amri and Suri, they say, Baal Ke'ishtai, a husband is like his wife. And Pompadisa Amri, and Pompadisa, they say, Isha Kebaila, a wife is like her husband. Either which way is the same exact thing. They're considered one unit and one would not be allowed to give Eidos about his stepson's wife. Now, where do we get this from? Damrav Huna Amarav, Minayin Shei Isha Kebaila, how do we know their wife is like her husband? Because the pasuk says, Ervas Achi Avicha Loisagale, don't reveal the erva of the brother of your father, El Ishtoi Loisikrav, don't come close to his wife, Doidoschahi, she's your aunt. Now, the problem is, Vala Isha's Doidahi, she's only the wife of your uncle, she's not actually your aunt. And what do we learn from here? From the fact that the pasuk calls her your aunt, Mechlal, the Isha Kebaila, we see that a wife is like her husband, and even though, again, she's just your aunt through marriage, it's still considered your aunt, and there's an Isra Erva. And same thing over here with the wife of a stepson, one would not be allowed to give Eidos about her. And we think with the Mishnah, Ubal Imai, Hu Ubinai V'chasanai, so we see that a person is not allowed to give Eidos about the son of the wife of his father, meaning his stepbrother. Ask the Gemara, Binai, Hainu Achiv, the son of his stepfather is basically his half-brother. That's what we're assuming right now, that his mother married this fellow, and they had a son together, making this guy his half-brother, so of course he's not allowed to give Eidos about him, it's his brother. So Rav Yirmi, he answers, L'nishcho is only necessary El L'achi Ho'ach, for the brother of the brother. What does that mean? So he's actually referring to a full stepbrother. Let's say we have a man and woman who get married. Each of them had a son from a previous marriage, Beryl and Shmerel, and then they had a son together, Getzel. So even though Beryl and Shmerel don't share parents, since they have a common half-sibling, Getzel, they are considered Krivim. However, the Gemara tells us that Rav Chisda, Achshar Ba'ach Yo'ach, Rav Chisda allowed the brother of a brother, meaning two stepbrothers, to give Eidos about each other. And really they asked him, Lo Yishmi Elcha Had Rabbi Yirmiya? Didn't you hear that what Rabbi Yirmiya said, that stepbrothers are also give Eidos about each other? Amar Lui told them, Lo Yishmi Eli, I didn't hear, Kloimar, meaning to say, Lo Yisvirli, I don't hold of it, I disagree. Ask the Gemara Yachiv, that's so, Hainu Achiv, that's no different than the Achiv of the Mishnah. And the Gemara answers, you're right, Tana Achiv Mino Av, Vikatani Achiv Mino Aim, we teach brother from father and brother from mother, but you're right, it's basically the same thing. On to another case, Amar Chisi says, Avi Chasan Vavi Kala, father of the Chasan, father of the Kala, Midin Zalazar, they're allowed to give Eidos about each other. Basically, the Mechatanim give Eidos one for another, Veloy Damala Dadi, and they're not comparable to each other, Ella Ki Achaladana, like a bad fitting top to a barrel. Basically, as nice as Mechatanim are to each other, and they get along when they're playing in the Chasana, and they're civil and pleasant to each other at family simchas, at the end of the day, they don't have much to do with each other, and therefore they're not considered relatives and can give Eidos. On to another din, Amar Abar Chani tells us, Maid Adam Lishta Arusa, a person could give Eidos about his wife who's in Arusa. We know there's two different stages to marriage. There's Arusin and Nisuin. Arusin is halachic engagement, but the marriage is not fully complete until Nisuin. So Abar Chani is telling us that an Arus could give Eidos about his Arusa. However, Amar Vina Ravina says, Loi Amar and Ella Fukemina, that's only to take money from her. Abul Yule La Loi Mehemin, but in order to get her to keep money or get money, he cannot give Eidos about her because he has a vested interest in that. Once he marries her fully, whatever money she got to keep or she received extra belongs to him now. So it's only in regards to take money away from her he's believed, but not in regards to having her get money. However, the Gemara now says, Valahi, it's not so. It doesn't make a difference if he's trying to take money away or give her money. He's not believed. And why is this? Because my taitech, what was your svara? What was your thought process originally that he should be able to give some Eidos about his Arusa? It's like Rav Chaim Rami said in the name of Ula that Ishta Arusa, when a man is only engaged, it's ours to Arusa. If she dies, loy oinein, he doesn't act as an oinein towards her. V'lo mitmala, he doesn't become tamei towards her if he's a kain. V'chein he also her. If she dies, loy nenes v'lo mitamaloi, she doesn't act as an oinein and she doesn't become tamei to him. Mesa eino yarsha. If she dies when she's just an arusa, he doesn't inherit her. However, meishu gavik subasa. If he dies, she does get her ksuba. As we see over here, that when it's just the stage of arus and arusa, they're not considered fully related to each other, and therefore you would think that maybe he is able to give some sort of aidus about her. However, the reason why that's not a good comparison is because Hasim over there, b'she'eroi tal rachmana, it all has to do with she'er. The pasuk uses this lashon of she'er, meaning closeness, really closeness of flesh, and akati la she'erihi, she's still not consider his she'er because she's not fully married to him, and therefore in regards to Yerusha and Toma, since they're not fully married, she's not she'er, there's a disconnect in his dinim. But hacha over here in regards to Eidos, mishumi karuvei daitahu, it all has to do with closeness of feeling. And here, once they're ready arsan arusa, he does have this close feeling towards her, enough that he's apostle aid. The Gemara continues, quote, the Mishnah chargel vadai, only a stepson, meaning we don't extend this isser of relative to the stepson's son or son-in-law. So now we have Bryce about this Tanarabon, and Bryce was taught, chargel vadai, a stepson by himself, and Rabbi Yossi says, gisai, a brother-in-law. V'tan yidach, we have another Bryce that tells us, gisai levadai, just a brother-in-law, and Rabbi Yehuda says, chargai, a stepson. And the question is, Maika Amar, what's going on over here? What are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi saying? Elim, if you want to say, hachakamar, this is what they're saying, chargel vadai, v'hua din legisai, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, this din applies not only to chargai, to stepson, but also to his brother-in-law. And also Rabbi Yossi, the main Rabbi Yossi, has come along to say that gisai levadai, v'hua din chargai, the din applies to his brother-in-law and also to his stepson. Well, that's so. El Masisin, what about our Mishnah? The Ktani that tells us very clearly, gisai, hu b'nev chasonai, his brother-in-law and his brother-in-law's son and son-in-law. Well, then money, who would our Mishnah be like? Loy Rabbi Yehuda v'loy Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, because both of them agree that gisai, his brother-in-law, is possible just by himself, and the son and son-in-law of his brother-in-law are not included in this. El Hachikam, or rather, maybe this is what they're saying. According to Rabbi Yehuda, charge levadai, just a stepson is a psol, avol gisai, but in regards to his brother-in-law, hu b'nev chasonai, that psol is extended to his son and son-in-law. But Rabbi Yossi l'meimar, Rabbi Yossi is coming to argue, and he says the other way around, that gisai levadai, the brother-in-law by himself is the psol, avol chargai, but in regards to his stepson, hu b'nev chasonai, the psol is extended to his son and son-in-law. Well, if that's really so, v'al hadatan rabchia, what about the brides of Ruchia that we had in Amud Aleph that taught us, Shemayna Aviz Shein Esrim Arba, there's eight main categories of relatives of Krivim in our Mishnah, and that gets extended to 24, because in addition to the eight main ones, we also have son and son-in-law. Well, come on, who's Ruchia go like Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yossi is saying that there's eight main relatives who are apostle along with their sons and son-in-laws, but the Mishnah lists 10, that means two need to be knocked off this list and be relegated to only being apostle alone, but their sons and son-in-law are not included. And the problem is that according to both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, only one of the following are excluded, not both, either brother-in-law or stepson, but again, not both of them, so is Ruchia's brisa like. El rather, Hachamar must be this is what we're saying. Chargel levadai, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a stepson is alone in the psol, but that's not extended to his son or son-in-law, avol gisai, but in regards to brother-in-law, who b'nev chasonai, is extended to his son and son-in-law as well. And also Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, gisai levadai, v'chol shekin chargai, not only is the son-in-law by himself in this psol, and it's not extended to his son or son-in-law, that also applies to his stepson, that it's not extended either to the stepson's son or son-in-law, and that means that a masis Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and Bryce Rabbi Yossi, the Bryce is Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda says b'shem Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, halacha zek Rabbi Yossi. Now right now the Havamina, we're actually going back to Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, who had said that the first part of the Mishnah was Shitas Rabbi Kiva, but really there's Mishnah Rishayna, there's an earlier Mishnah that tells us that the only people that are puzzled from testifying about each other are those who are able to yarshin each other, and that's who Shmuel said that halacha is like, that Rabbi Yossi. And we have a story about this. There was a shtar matana, that there were two brothers-in-law signed on it. Now these brothers-in-law were the husbands of two sisters. And so Rabbi Yossi l'achshara, Rabbi Yossi wanted to be machsharet, tam Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, halach Rabbi Yossi. That's because we had just said, Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Shmuel, that the halach is Rabbi Yossi, and since brothers-in-law, namely these two men married to two sisters, do not yarshin each other, so it means they're not possible from being edim together, and they're allowed to be signed on this document. However, Amar Abayi told Rabbi Yosef, mimad Rabbi Yossi masisin the machshar b'gisai. Who says that when Shmuel said that halach is Rabbi Yossi, he's talking about Rabbi Yosef our Mishnah that allows brothers-in-law to testify. Maybe it's Rabbi Yossi the Brisa that we just had previously in the Gemara who apostles the brother-in-law. So Rabbi Yossi replied, don't think that. Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, what's a case of brother-in-law who's apostle? Kigoyin ano Pinchas, like me and Pinchas, Shmuel's brother's name was Pinchas, David and Ache v'gise. We're not only brothers, but we're also brothers-in-law. Shmuel and Pinchas were married to two sisters. Now that's mashma that avol gise the alma shaper dummy. The regular brothers-in-law, as long as they're not brothers, are allowed to be aiding for each other or together. And so we clearly see, says Rabbi Yosef, that according to Shmuel, just regular brothers-in-law, as long as they're not brothers, are allowed to give eidos. However, Abai responded that no, v'dilma k'gayna no Pinchas mishum degisai ka'amar. Maybe all Shmuel was saying is that here's an example of brothers-in-law that are apostle, me and Pinchas, my brother. But he wasn't dafka trying to say people who are brothers and brothers-in-law. It could be if they're just brothers-in-law and not brothers, they're still apostle, according to Shmuel. Now, because of this response of Abaye, Rabbi Yosef backtracked, and Amar Lay, he told the guy that had the shtar matana, zilkani be'edim esira, k'rebel lazar. Go acquire this gift with Edim Asira like Rabbi Lazar. In other words, you can't use the Edim on the Shtar because you're right, they're brothers-in-law. The only way you'd be becoming it is through Edim Asira, the Edim that watch the Shtar being given over, and this is like Shitas Rabbi Lazar with Gittin, who holds the Edim and Sirakarti that the main krisos, the main severing ability of this get, is with the Edim that watch it being given over, not the Edim that are signed on it, and therefore that's the only way you, Mr. Gift Receiver, could receive this gift, is if you have kosher Edim that watch the document being given over to you, not the Edim that actually signed on the document. However, the problem with this is, Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Madra Blazer Mezoif Mitaycha Shu Pasol, the Rabblazer himself agrees that if it's Mezoif Mitaycha, if there's something wrong with the document itself, that it's Pasol, even if we have kosher Edim Asira. And over here, it is Mezoif Mitaycha. The two Edim signed on the Shtar Matana are brothers-in-law, and so they're Pasol. So the Edim Asira don't help us out at all. So what's Rabbi Yosef suggesting? And because of this, Amar Le, Rabbi Yosef told the guy who's trying to receive the Matana, Zil, you should go, because Loy Shav Kili Daisvin Alach, they're not allowing me to give it to you. In other words, I don't have a kosher way for you to be able to receive this gift. Now going to explain the next part, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Chulu. Rabbi Huda was commenting on the previous opinion, which had told us that if we have relatives through marriage, for example, father-in-law and son-in-law, and then the person who made them relatives, namely the daughter whom the son-in-law was married to, died, so then they're not relatives anymore, and there's no psol. However, Rabbi Huda had said that if there were children from this marriage, meaning if the husband and wife had children, and then the wife died, the son-in-law is still considered related to his father-in-law because of his children. So like Mara tells us, Amar Tanchum, Amar Tavla, Amar Bruna, Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Huda, Halacha Zak Rabbi Huda. However, Rava, Amar Nachman, Ein Halacha Rabbi Huda, Halacha Zak Rabbi Huda, and Mechina Rav Rechana, Amar Yechanan, Ein Halacha Rabbi Huda, Halacha Zak Rabbi Huda. So even though they had children together, once the daughter dies, the son-in-law is not considered related to his father-in-law anymore. Now, Ikad Masi La Lahadu Rav Rechana Ha, there are some that teach Rav Rechana's memra on the following, meaning the fact that Rav Rechana quoted Rabbi Yechanan regarding some sort of halachic matter was really said about something else. As Zu Darsh Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Yosef Glili Darsh in the following, the Pasuk tells us, Ubasa Kleihan Malvim Ve'al Shevet Asheriya Bayam Ahim, you shall come to the Kaihan Malvim, the judge that's in those days. This is talking about a person who has an issue and they come to Bezdin, so they have to come to the Shevet. And the question is, V'chisa Al Dat Chash Adam Ha'ilich Eitzel Shevet Shaloi Ha'i Bayamav, would you ever have a Havmina that a person is going to go to Shevet that doesn't live in his days? What does the Pasuk mean by saying, Asheriya Bayam Ahim, you should go to a judge, you should go to a Dayan that lives in those days? What do you want to do? Go to a Dayan that lived 100 years ago? He's not alive anymore. Al rather, what's the Pasuk referring to? Zeshaya Karev V'nisrachik. When it says a judge in those days, it's referring to a person who once upon a time was a relative, and now he's been nisrachik. He's far away, he's not related anymore. And then that person is allowed to be a dayan. Originally, back in the day, he wasn't allowed to be a dayan because he was a relative, he was a karev. Now he's nisrachik, he's been distanced, he's not a relative anymore, so you could use him as a dayan. And it was on this that Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha Rabbi Yosef Glili, Halacha Rabbi Yosef Glili. Now we have a story illustrating this. Bnei Chamud Mar Ukva, the sons of Mar Ukva's father-in-law, meaning basically Mar Ukva's brothers-in-law, Chavtes on Ralph on top, Krevim Nisrachku Havu, they were relatives and they became distanced. That's because Mar Ukva's wife died, so he wasn't brothers-in-law with them anymore. And also, Kamel Adina, these former brothers-in-law of his, came to him for a din Torah. Amrului told him, Pasol Chol Adina, I'm Pasol, I can't be a dayan for you. So Amrului, they told him, Ma Daite, Chotz Yer Havamina, Krebi Yehuda, you want to go like Krebi Yehuda? They were still considered like relatives because since you have children from our deceased sister, that means we're still related to you, but we don't go like him. Anan Maisin Nigar to Marava, we're going to bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael that says, De'ein Alach Krebi Yehuda, Alach is not like Krebi Yehuda. So we're not related anymore, and therefore you could be our dayan. However, Amrulahu, Mar Ukva told them, Atu Bakaba de Kira, Ida Bakna Bahu, am I glued to you with a whole bunch of wax? Meaning when I became your brother-in-law, does that mean that I'm super glued to you forever and ever and we're always considered related? The reason why I'm puzzled to be your dayan is not because we're still related. You're right, we're not related anymore. The only reason why I said that I'm puzzled to be your dayan is El Mishum Dolitse Sudina. It's only because you're not gonna listen to my psak. You're not gonna value my judgment and my decision, and that's why I'm not a good dayan for you, not because we're relatives, we're actually not relatives, as you say. We're gonna stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow. Continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.